I just don't see a screen on, so I just wanted to make sure we're live. And we're live. Morro Bay, good morning. I'm going to call this meeting to order at 9:05. And I'm Charlie H., Chair of the Morro Bay Tourism Improvement District Advisory Board. To my right, I have Joan Solu. To my left, Nancy Dickerson and Amish Patel. We are missing Stephen Allen and Isaac and Chris Kosteka this morning. I'd like to start this meeting off by establishing a quorum, calling this meeting to order, and I'd also like us all to establish a moment of silence, much needed silence in these days. So if we could take a moment. Thank you all. Can we all rise and recite the Pledge of Allegiance? And begin. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Well, good morning. Any board announcements?
Well, will you be announcing about the Thanksgiving dinner? Oh, There's a community Thanksgiving dinner, and they've been doing it for over 20 years, at least since I've lived here. And they will feed anyone who shows up. And it is, I believe, from 1 to 3, but I'm sure Nancy, who's in the back, not the Nancy who's in the front, has more information on it, and hopefully she'll pop out and give us a great description of it, because I encourage you to head down there. It's a really fantastic local event, and it's one of the best things that happens in our community, for our community, by our community. Thank you.
Any other board announcements? How about staff? Hello.
Good morning. Yes, I have several announcements. First of all, I wanted to let all of you know that I will not be attending Go West this year. I know it is in our budget, but just due to time constraints with VRs coming in, I'm going to skip it this year. I'm going to try to stay and play with IPW, which is in June. By then, we should be caught up and ready to go. And IPW is a little different because it's a seated space, so if I skip it, we might not get back into that spot in the SoCal booth. So I want to make sure that we try to stay in that spot. We just finished reprinting the visitor guides, and they are out at all the hotels, one box to every hotel. Plus, we do have some extra still at the office if anybody needs more. Lights for the holiday season. If anybody's putting up lights in their business, whether you're open at night or not, I'd recommend to put up lights. I would really appreciate it by December 5th, so our town looks lively. Really helps the nighttime with our shorter days, too. The commercial fishing crab pot tree will be located at Anchor Park this year, which I think is a really great location. Really good visual for photos, for selfies, and we'll put our Morro Bay selfie stop down there as well so people can get a really cool shot of the rock and the tree and Morro Bay with the hashtag. Rotary has gone ahead and taken on the Santa House responsibility this year, and they will be managing it open Friday, Saturday, Sunday from the tree lighting until I think the 22nd. Is that right? Somewhere right in there. Rock Radio Station has picked up the Sunday Paddle Parade for me, and they're going to do that as a fundraiser with Sandy and Ken Twist as their grand marshals leading the parade on the water. So that's really exciting. And then we as staff are managing the Friday night lights, so we've got most of our commercial boats set up on that, and we've got restaurants that are financially supporting them for that. A few more things. I just wanted you to know that the maintenance department is working on a grant right now to rebuild the Coleman bathrooms with the intention of having those rebuilt and in place for season. And what else do I have up there? Oh, those are duplicates. I'm sorry. And then Scott Collins will be here either in December or January to discuss the commercial water rates. That was a request by Steve Allen, so I skipped it this month since he's not here, but he will be coming back and discussing those with the board. Okay. Yep. I have a few more things. Did you have a question, Joan?
I did. When you say that staff is managing I think it's the light of Beaupré. Is that what you meant by the?
It's Friday Night Lights. It's the
Okay.
Friday night we do commercial vessels, and they're sponsored by the restaurant. So we've expanded it to two nights, basically. So Saturday night is the lighted boat parade, the big lighted boat parade, which is open to anybody. Friday night is just commercial vessels, and we've got the Coast Guard Cutter, Harbor Patrol, Black Pearl, Papagayo, Chablis, both subsea tour boats. We've got a lot of boats, and they're all sponsored financially for their fuel and lights by different restaurants.
Oh, terrific.
Waterfront restaurants. Yeah, so we've extended into two nights, which is really helpful.
Okay, great. That's I just want a little more information. I appreciate
No problem. We had a last-minute opportunity that came up for us literally last week, and it was about a 12-hour turn to get into Destinations Magazine, which is a very high-end mail publication out of San Francisco. And usually it's $6,000 for a two-page spread. It's pretty significant money. I mean, the ads in there are really high-end. And this is goes out to 30,000 homes. It's digital and print, all in the Silicon Valley, the peninsula area of San Francisco. And they came to us and they said, if you'd like the space, we have a spread left. We'll give it to you for $500 each page. And so we were able to pick up a sponsor for the second page, which is Verge's Landing. And so we have a two-page spread in there that will be out for December, January. So for a $500 cost, I'm really excited about that. Other tourism-based companies that are in there, I just wrote them out so you could see Ventana Big Sur, Marina Del Rey, The Venetian in Vegas, Ventura Coast, El Agreto, Berkeley, Pismo Beach, and Noble House. So really quality establishments are in that publication. So we love the pub. We usually don't advertise in there, but it's nice to be in there for a special treat for us. We had to use what we had. So we had to really use what we had because it was literally a 12-hour turn, and we had a two-page spread that we did of fishing. It's the gentleman with, they're on the back of the boat with the fish, and there's a seagull flying around and the rocks in the background. And then the second page, we used a new shot that Dana did of the three Verges boats in dock. And so that's how we were able to get them to pick up half the cost. So it worked out really well. Another thing that we are working on is I reached out to the Art Center about trying to do some sort of event in January or February, and talking through this with them, they have already an artist that's coming into Morro Bay in April. He's a very high-end plein air painter coming from Germany, and so we decided to kind of use this as kind of a test launch pad to see if this is a really good place for us to go doing a plein air event. So it'll be mid-April. It's the week before Easter, which is kind of a slow week for us right before everybody's on break, and he's already going to be here doing some things, so we're going to try to grow this, and we're going to do a paint out where we'll put cash prizes into it so we get some pretty good quality painters that come. And what they do is they go out and they paint. And people come and watch them. They have like a two-hour window. They paint. They take their wet canvas and they slap it into a frame. And then it goes into a room and people come in and they judge it. And then they auction them off. So it's a really nice event. And then to try to get a second evening event, we're going to do probably like a wine and cheese meet and greet with the artist or something of that level. We're waiting to hear back from them on what he's willing to do. But I think this is a good baby step in to see if we can get into this, a plein air event without a lot of expense for us this year. So I'm excited to see what it does for us as far as visitors. Yeah. You guys like that idea? Yeah. Yeah. That's all I have for staff announcements.
Moving on to the consent agenda. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes from our last meeting? And any comments, questions, concerns? And
just,
if not,
just
I'd like
one.
To entertain a motion.
There's just one correction. It's
Talk
on page one, or whatever. I guess it's page three of our packet of 44 pages. And it's just it's actually a very common misspelling of my last name. It's that whole Solu versus that whole very popular Solo Dixie Cup and Han Solo deal. So it's super, it always happens. But anyways, that's just the only one I saw. Oh, I'm sorry. It's again on page four. Yeah, on the motion. Believe me, we get the Solos mail all the time.
I'll bet you do. Entertaining a motion. With corrections.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Moving on. All right. Jennifer.
TOT report for September. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it. We were slightly down. We were at occupancy 73% over 75 last year. ADR was 132 over 136 last year, and the RevPAR was 94 over 102. I'm having a little bit of a challenge, which I think we have resolved now with one property in town who, I'm not going to say who it is, but they've had some pretty significant changes in house, and their occupancy is 31% this year. Last year it was 87%. So, I mean, that's all I can kind of get into with it. They're trying to resolve it. They are aware of it, and I've been trying to work. It's been this way for a couple months, and it's just really kind of come to a head, and I think they've got it resolved now, but hopefully by November numbers, we'll see it back up on where it should be. So,
question, when hotels go into renovation like we're going to be going into,
yes.
What's the process? You know, what's the best process so that we all have correct numbers?
Right.
Because I know that's really the data, garbage in, garbage out. We want to make sure that what we're getting is correct. And when a property closes or whatever, like we're going to be closing, say, 30 rooms at a time, mm-hmm. that would be 30 rooms out of the inventory, mm-hmm. which will definitely affect.
Right. When you file your TOT report, it should be based on rooms available. Not on total rooms of the hotel, what's available.
Got it. Thank you.
I have a couple of things on the TOT report. I am concerned for the revenue for the community because it's $200,000 down. Mm-hmm. And that's when I talk about revenue, that's gross sales, not TOT. Gross sales is $200,000, was $2,100 down in September for the hotels, which, that's a lot of overnight stays. And we have some of, not the highest, but some of the highest costs in here in Morro Bay in terms of doing business for utilities. And hotels pay a much, much significantly higher rate for PG&E than residential users, just so people who are excited about their PG&E rates know. I know that hotels pay a significantly higher rate than residents. So all those costs are reflective of how our revenue comes out in terms of also our average daily rate. And it looks like our average daily rate is also down a little. So I'm going to be curious to watch how it ends up over a six-month period because it's been dropping over the last 3 months. And I noticed in the STAR report that other folks are down comparatively year on year, meaning other folks, other destinations within our county are down year on year. I'm curious about our real competitors outside of the county, like Santa Barbara, Ventura, Monterey. I would be really curious to know what their STAR reports reflect because that would give us, and we have to remember that STAR is, we on our report, we're using our actual numbers for Morro Bay versus STAR numbers for the rest of the county. So we have in our numbers, we have the full bushel of apples, and when we look at the STAR report for the rest of the county, we're looking at a plate of apples. It's only a sampling of the bushel, and so it's hard to really, I mean, Jennifer and I have talked about this. It's hard to really set it up side by side and do this line by line comparison, but the best information we have is that STAR stuff, and what's really concerning to me is when you look at the Jackrabbit, and Jennifer, you and I have had this conversation too. Jackrabbit's down 1,300 clicks from last year. And there's a number of hotels that Jackrabbit doesn't scrape because they don't have a handshake with them. And that was probably true last year too. Those hotels, I mean, did your family have the same operating system last year that they have this year?
And to my knowledge, it was fixed to a certain extent. So we are publishing.
Are you? So you're shaking hands now with?
I don't know if it's through a static rate or if they're directly pulling off of the website. I do know that the rate's on there. I don't know if it's accurate or not.
Okay. And there's a click-through, there's a live reservation mechanism, do you know?
It redirects straight to our website.
It redirects straight to your website.
They all have a link. The ones that don't show rate, we've been putting in a static rate.
Okay.
If they'll allow us. There's some that, like Grayson doesn't have a website at all, so they have no rate. But we're trying to actively do that as the season changes, go back in and get a new rate off the websites. Jackrabbit is aware of the problem. They're now owned by SimpleView, who's our website, and so they're trying to resolve some things as well, just so you're aware. And we've been talking with them quite often about it.
Yeah, because 1,300 click-throughs is huge. That's huge. That's a huge, huge loss. That's like a 40% loss from last year. I mean, that's, for what we pay, to me, it's unacceptable. They need to fix it fast, and because it's part of the reason why we're seeing it's the easy access. When the easy access is gone, people like to do what's easy, right? It's natural. And so, you know, that's easy access. And I know you're working on it, Jennifer.
Yeah, but
so go ahead.
I was going to say, remember, our website, you know, switched over in April, and we knew we'd see it slow down. And so that is also part of it. It's not just Jackrabbit. It's getting onto the SimpleView site. And we have made some, you know, changes with that, moving the booking widget onto all the pages. So, I mean, we are seeing changes now that that's happened. So hopefully that'll help as well.
Right. Our website switchover happened in June, and these are, I'm assuming,
April 15th.
April 15th. And these are the Jackrabbit leads for September, right?
Yep.
Okay, so that's a long time out from our switchover is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll add to that, too, if I may. So the switchover was April 10th, and there were a couple things that we've still just – that we've been working with SimpleView on, not only in reference to Jackrabbit, but also to tracking referrals with our advertising, digital advertising agencies. So we've been continuously working with SimpleView on these matters. And what Jackrabbit did is they, now that they're owned by SimpleView, they were able to go in and really investigate, okay, what are the differences year over year? And they've been looking into it for a couple of months. And they came up with a formula that proves why we have these different numbers. And so it took them a while to get us the information. And as soon as we got that data, it was basically that in the new site, SimpleView put the booking widget below the fold, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the things. And we didn't have it on, per their recommendation, on as many pages. And so when Jackrabbit came back to us and said, this is what's going on and this is what all the data is telling us, these guys, I mean, Megan jumped on it like immediately. I know we had to pay extra to have them fix this, but now it's like on every page, it's above the fold. That's how it was on our last website, and they pretty much talked us out of doing that. And so now it's back. So now, I mean, literally as of last month, correct? Yeah, October. What month are we in? November. October. We're talking about September. So anyway, so we're going to start tracking that. Joan, it's been on our radar for a while, and I appreciate you bringing it up because it's definitely significant.
It's in the report every month,
yeah.
And it keeps dropping, and it's alarming because we're also dropping revenue. So it's like, you know, those two things, if they're trending the same, right, then got to adjust it. Good.
Absolutely.
I'm glad
absolutely.
To know that it's been adjusted. And then the other thing, and Marianne, you might want to stay close, is I went back. I know you guys are like, oh, my God, her and the TOT report. Here she goes, right?
No, this is good. This
but
is good.
The other thing that's the TOT report that I looked at was we adopted several hashtags. And so I went back in to look at some of our social media postings, and it looks like we've had, like, such great, beautiful, compelling social media posts. I mean,
thank
the
you.
Photography is like, ah. But one of the things that I noticed that I don't see when I clicked through on those was there wasn't a hashtag that basically said stay or book your room, and we've lost that somewhere along the way. So I feel like hashtag outdoor goals is really important. Like, that should be our, whatever our play is for the month should be really important. But I still, and I, you know, it would be up to the board and board direction, up for discussion, but I do feel like we're losing that handshake where we're asking the consumer to actually spend the money here. We're telling them, this is a great place to come for outdoor goals. Take a look. But I love our compelling, the way we're doing it, but I know that it links through to the website. I see that. I clicked through on a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Tell me.
Well, I was just going to say, so let's make sure we don't get too far off subject, because we cannot make a motion on a hashtag.
I know, okay, I understand that. That's what I'm saying.
A hashtag is not about come book your stay. Right. The way hashtag works is to get people outside of our world that are looking for outdoor goals or outdoor adventure. They're not looking for book your stay. That's not really a way hashtag would work, to be honest. So the way we came up with these, Joan, was they went through and pulled what is the broadest hashtags that are getting good links that people are looking at, or that we could own outright, like Morrow Vacation. Mm-hmm. So that is how they came about. I mean, if you want to add to that, Marianne,
sure.
But I mean, that's not really the way a hashtag would work. It's not going to influence somebody to book at all.
I understand, but the photo might. So, like, the photos are so compelling about coming to Morrow Bay. I don't know. It's for a further discussion, but the photo, the photography is so compelling. Mm-hmm. She's doing a great job.
Yeah.
A picture speaks whatever it is, 10,000 words, 1,000 words, and when you look at San Francisco and you see the Golden Gate Bridge or whatever, you want to go there. So then you look to book and to make it easy for folks. I don't know.
I love that you bring up these questions and these ideas, Joan, because I think that's just how we broaden our perspective on every level of our marketing efforts. And so you speaking up and sharing your ideas, I think, is fantastic. So I don't want you to ever feel bad about that. So best practices I've actually been looking into recently, because our team has been doing some research about how to best approach hashtags, and there are some changes happening, not necessarily in travel right now, because I've been literally yesterday, this is funny this came up, but to Jen's point, it's not really, hashtags aren't necessarily a call to action, and what we have been employing this year, hashtags aside, is how we're balancing our organic posts versus our campaign posts, okay? And so we get way more play and engagement on our organic posts that we're not asking people to buy something than we do on the ones. But we still get good play, and those are the ones that we do social media advertisements on, and so, you know, we get it in front of more people. But recently I just did some searching about, you know, how people are using their hashtags, like Visit California, Santa Barbara County, and so forth. They all have one, like a Morrow Vacation. They have, you know, Visit California hashtag or CSB. You know, there's no call to action that I'm seeing in those hashtags. And hashtags are getting fewer and fewer. That's kind of, you know, where we're going. So I think, to Jen's point as well, is that with the Morrow Vacation one, like the Visit California one or the CSB, those are brands, hashtag brands specific to those areas. And what we can do is see, and we've already tracked, you know, since April or May or June, I can't remember when we launched the hashtag program, there were only 15 people that had used the hashtag Morrow Vacation. Now it's over 1,000.
We're getting too far off of our topic.
Okay,
and
I'm gonna,
we're not, it's not agendized, so.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Anyway, so I think we're on track as far as best practices are concerned with hashtags, but thank you, you know, for bringing that up.
To your revenue, right? Drives sales, drives TOT revenue, which is why I was trying to get to making sure that we're making the handshake to ask for the sale to drive the revenue so that our TOT report has firecrackers all over it. Right?
So if I could just add to that, I think the larger issue that I think you're getting to know, which is really helpful for me, is what, I don't want to tell you how to do your jobs, right? I want you to tell me how you're increasing conversion through all your social media. Because when we get, I don't want to swoop down, this is called, you know, in design terms, you don't want the board to swoop and poop all over your plans, right? So we don't tell you how to do your work, but if you could continually keep helping us to understand, how do the hashtags convert? How does any social media effort convert to actual dollars? And I know that you can't always, you know, connect the dots. You can just give us trend information about what you're doing. But like what you just told us was one of those helpful things I've heard in helping me to understand how your activities are converting. That's
any further discussion on this? Seeing none, we're going to receive and file the TOT report. And we're going to move on to business items. That's you. Come on up.
Hello. I'm just going to talk through a little bit of the marketing report, so definitely on topic. The October year-over-year traffic was down. However, looking past Harbor Festival this year, so October 6th and beyond, it was actually up 36%. So again, this has to do with the Harbor Festival grant last year and the marketing that we that Morabay Tourism put out for them. Additionally, we've done some new social media strategy in terms of ads in October. So they're spreading more of the money over more posts and spending more on shoulder season campaigns. So for example, the same amount has been spent year over year, but we've actually reached and created click-throughs that are in the doubles. So double the amount of results from the same amount of money. As far as the wine promotion, it ended in October, and the campaign page views are up 36% year over year. For 73% year over year. It created 6.2 million impressions, and the ads we spent $50,000 on. The total redemption of wine coupons was 663, which means that we spent $3,000 on wine, and then the hotel revenue generated from the campaign has $250,000.
And the hashtag was Morabaycation.
As far as PR and media relations, earned impressions this month were $362 million. The press release was about local makers and doing your holiday shopping in Morabay. We hosted a visiting journalist, David Law, in the end of September, and he published a piece on birding in Morabay, which is great. Talked a lot about the Pacific Wildlife Care. But again, bringing more attention to birding in Morabay. I'd like to see that. Also, we can't not talk about the paddling witches. This year was the first year that they told us when they were going to be out on the water, so we got to do a press release on that and get the word out, and that resulted in over 60,000 views across different platforms. And then lastly, I just want to mention that REI on their blog did a Highway 1 road trip, and Morabay was the only destination that was listed on there, and that was due to Mental Marketing working directly with REI when they were opening their new store. So we hope to continue that partnership as well going forward. Any questions on that?
A couple questions.
Yeah.
So I'll just go back to the recent one with the wine promotion. I did a little survey with the guests that did book and redeem a two-night for the bottle of wine. For the people that booked, I would say at least 90% didn't know about the wine promotion. And there was at least a good 10-15% that didn't want it. So I'm just kind of questioning its effectiveness. To me, it feels like it's a lot of, I guess, no one really knows about it, and I'm seeing more that people don't care for it, as in taking a coupon. So that's my take on the wine promotion. And then for the first slide, That said, October 6th through the 31st, with an increase in traffic, I don't see how that resulted in extra room nights booked as well. I think the October TOT report's going to reflect that as well.
Right, the conversion wise. On the wine campaign, I did hear from one hotel that they were a little frustrated that we offered it on weekends. So, I mean, whatever that's worth. And I, you know, it was kind of a mute point at that part because this is probably last year we'll do it because VR is coming on. I don't think it'll be a viable situation next year, but I thought it was a good point. You know, one of the things that we talked about when we first started this 2 years ago was not having a lot of, you know, requirements as far as it can't be on this date or that date just because it gets very cumbersome to manage that. So
I just also want to point out, too, that the generated room night stays is based on the ads that we put out from the campaign. Yeah, so the generated the next one. Yeah, the generated hotel revenue that we tracked is
$250,000.
Is based on the ads that were
so
put
means
out
they clicked
about
on
the
an
campaign
ad and they booked a room
to book.
So whether they remember it when they got to the property or not, they did click on an ad and book a room based on that ad.
And then I just want to mention about the October 6th through the end of the month, how the increase in traffic is important. If you recall back to the strategic plan where Carl Roboto said, okay, we want to grow our traffic to the site because we can calculate it out, and I don't have the actual math in my head right now, but it's like 10%. We can say 10% of the people going to the site are booking rooms. So the more we, you know, drive traffic, the higher numbers, the higher the percent, you know, the higher results. If 10% is, you know, what he calculated out as a booking number. So that's how that matters and why that matters. We really want to, one of our goals for the year in the marketing plan as well is to increase traffic. And it's kind of been a challenge.
So I know there's a term in marketing called cart abandonment. When people go to exit out of the website, do you think it would be any beneficial to include a pop-up with our specials promotion for hotels that say, hey, you're leaving the website, but we have these specials here on our website.
To do a pop-up?
Yeah.
Sure, we can totally do a pop-up. I mean, I think it's going to, we can get a bid on it. We'd have to get an estimate from SimpleView.
Because people may see the website, but they might not see the specials ad. Yeah, don't leave now.
Sure.
Here's our specials.
That's
we have really
idea.
Good deals.
Yeah, let's do it.
I forgot where I read it. It was in some hotel publication, but hotels that use that strategy can increase bookings by, I think it was like.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like from the advertising numbers up there, that meaning the advertisers, and then they clicked through to book a room, that using last year, 2018 TOT, it would be about 9% of the monthly revenue for October. I looked at October's number. So it would be about 9% of the monthly revenue if those numbers are true, if there was an abandonment like you mentioned. So, I mean, you know, something to think about. So, in other words, what I'm trying to say is when vacation rentals come on, if we're abandoning that program and we're having cart abandonment and it's 9% of the revenue, we need to look hard at October because the hotels I've talked to said October was really hard and kind of down this year, so we're going to have to look hard at replacing real hard push on that.
A question about, are you saying cart abandonment? I guess I'm unclear on what you're talking about. Right.
So when you're there and you're shopping or looking,
right,
and you're going, you know, I'm done, I'm clicking out, and I go, wait, don't leave yet.
Okay, I thought you were
so
might
like
have been meaning something else.
So it's like when you're exiting the site, do you have a cart with nothing in it?
Yeah. Okay, I get that.
So
I just want
like,
to make
I'm
sure
leaving,
it wasn't.
And it comes up and it says, but wait.
Okay.
Before you go, there's a special two-night stay that you get whatever
right.
the promotion is, or a call to action, like book now to see the light parade, or, you know, holidays are here.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure I was hearing correctly that you were saying cart, not something else. Okay.
Okay. What's next?
Okay, so we have an opportunity. That was Chris Kosteka. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot. So he's going to run down. Anyway, so we'll have to give him a really bad time when he gets here. So we have an interesting opportunity, and this is just conversation. I want to hear what you guys think, what your position is. No right or wrong answer. I want to hear thoughts. Yes, we're moving to the next item. Oh, you need to do, public comment on the TOT. He needs to do public comment on the TOT.
I'd like to open the floor up to public comment for the marketing report.
I think a California Welcome Center Morro Bay is an incredible opportunity. I know for a fact how much traffic it drives to Pismo, to that shopping center. It's in the corner of a strip mall in Pismo Beach, and they get so much traffic. It is incredible how people driving throughout the state flock to those centers. So I think it'd be a huge coup for Morro Bay. Oh, I'm Mary Ann Stansfield with Mental Marketing.
Okay. Make a motion on the...
I'm going to entertain a motion to accept the marketing report.
So moved.
Second.
Yep.
Calling for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
So, California Welcome Center. The Pismo Beach one closed at the end of October unexpectedly. The landlord is no longer financially supporting. I guess he used to give a discount, and Pismo paid into it, and SoCal put money into it, and for whatever reason, they have not come to an agreement, and so it's looking to move. I gave you guys this sheet, this little sheet right here. That is from Vicki Tackett, who does all the brochures that go into the Welcome Centers all over California, so you can see how Pismo rates over the other ones really strongly. And so for 2018, their walk-ins were over 300,000. And for 2019, they were just in the short months. They were January through May. They were at 109, so they were trending higher for the year, which is good. So what I want to talk to you guys about is this opportunity. Is it an opportunity for Morro Bay or not? It's financially a big, big elephant that we need to talk about, and I don't have financial numbers to talk with you about today, but I want to see if you guys even like the idea. I think it's a huge opportunity. It hasn't been on Highway 1. So I'm going to go through my whys and give you guys some data and just see what you guys think, okay? So I put in front of you this arrivalist package, and there's one on the back table if anybody in the public would like to look at it as well. And I'm going to go through some specific details that I want you to see related to this. It does other things for us besides this, so the whole packet is really good. But what this is arrivalist is the, and first of all, this has not been somebody hired by Morro Bay. This is a SoCal project. It has nothing to do with us, but we're lucky enough to get the data. So arrivalist is the company that tracks your smartphone. So they track you coming into market. They track where you go in the market. They track all your stops, when you come, when you go, where you're flying in and out of. I mean, it's invasive, but it's also really nice data for us to see at the same time. So I'll give you kind of some ideas. They track over 120 million devices nationwide. It's always on. Even if you say don't track my location, I guess it still tracks with historical data, which is really interesting. And so here's how it tracks. If you look at the trip, it'll show you they started at their home, and then they flew to the airport, and then they went to Hearst Castle or Pismo Beach, and it goes through the whole thing, and then when they go home. So they can see total amount of time and all the different trips in between, which is really nice. This is the page 2 that I have in your report is the average trip. Let me make sure I have that page in your report. I don't think I do. Sorry, hold on, let me get to my right page. I don't. Okay, let me move forward. So the point of interest definition that I have, your first schematic in the report, shows the 6 different points that people visit while they're in the county, and the number one is Embarcadero, Morro Rock, out of everywhere in the county. So So it's right here in your staff report. And it is in the Rivalist book. It says point of interest definition. You know, they don't have page numbers on their things. One of the things that I noticed when SoCal put this project together was I guess they had limited amounts of points that they could set up for destinations, and so they combined Avila Beach with Los Osos and Montana del Oro, which I've requested for those to be separated because they don't even have a connection. I don't know why they would have put them together. And so in ranking-wise, in some situations, it ranks them higher than Morro Bay, which is really a false positive. I think it needs to be changed. So I did talk with Brooke about that, and she has agreed that that should be separated. And same with Atascadero, Grover Beach, Napomo, I can't read it. Oceano, is that the other one on there? They're also combined, which I think they need to be separated, just so that we can clearly see where we stand in the rankings of how people are traveling through the county. When you look at in-state visits versus out-of-state visits, so people that are coming from California or out-of-state, the number one point of interest that people are coming to see is The Rock or the Embarcadero is how they list it. It's over 8%. Out-of-state trips, it's considered the second one because the first one is the airport. So, honestly, I would say we're still probably the number one, but it's over 11% of people are coming to The Rock / Embarcadero. That's pretty major. It's really good. So we do have huge opportunity for conversion. I mean, out-of-state people, they've already probably booked their room and they have a decision on where they're going, but maybe for their second trip, it's a good opportunity. So where do they go after arriving at the airport? We sit at number six, but again, the Avila Beach, Montana del Oro, Los Osos is ahead of us, as well as the other combination grouping, which I think they'd fall behind us if they separated those out. So this is cross-visitation. I've got it up on the screen for you guys to see. So people that go to Hearst Castle, the first place they want to go after Hearst Castle at 20% is the Embarcadero Rock. Fly into the airport, first place is Embarcadero Rock at 11%. If they go to the Pismo Pier, it's the second place at 13.4%. If they go to Oceano, it's the first place at 6%. And if they're at Cal Poly, it's also the first place at 7.7%, which also reaffirms our Cal Poly calendars that we do with incoming freshmen. So that's good. So all that shows us in Adara is that, I mean, Morro Bay is obviously a primary point that we should look at for the visitor center as far as I'm concerned. And, some other things to take in consideration is in the San Luis Obispo Destination Management Strategy, this document that SoCal put together, we are one of the points that they, in their 28-point list, Morro Bay, Embarcadero is one of the things as a placemaker that they feel needs to be done. So they've also agreed that Morro Bay needs to be stepped up. You know, Highway 1 is a bucket list item, as we all know, right? So that makes sense for it to be on Highway 1 or close to it. And then there's another opportunity, and I don't know how it really fits in, if it's part of this or not, but there is a tourism grant that we could apply for, and it's really interesting. It's a rural tourism grant, and it's up to $3 million. And it specifically says that it is for new opportunities to create a facility that currently do not exist or may include, but are not limited to, a visitor center that interprets a significant historical or natural resource. I mean, that's just like calling our name, personally. I mean, The Rock, and I think there's so much there that we could do with it. And it has to be a co-space. It has to have other people in there. So, you know, historical society, maybe tribal, indigenous, and Morro Rock could be in there. The visitor center, for sure, I've talked with Chamber about, and they're totally on board with helping figure out how to support this. So that grant is really an exciting part of it, and maybe it's separate from the California Welcome Center because it's a longer lead. Maybe that's part two. So maybe we go after getting the Welcome Center, and then the second part of it is we want to make it this freestanding facility that's got all these different resources in it. Kind of idea. So the if we do a current welcome center, that would be like, let's say, at the dollar store. That's kind of what I was thinking because it's on Highway 1. It still would need to have a mixed use in there, still be, have to have different entities, but it would not include the rural tourism grant. Does that make sense? Because it wouldn't be done in time. Are you guys following me? You're tracking with me? So last night I got an email from SloCal, and they told me that this opportunity closes by December 6th, and that Visit California is requiring a business plan and a marketing plan and a really solid outline on why we'd want this and where it'd go. And so that's really pretty tight timeline. So I need to kind of hear where you guys feel on this and if you feel it's something we want to move forward on. You guys like the idea? Or
what's the buzz with competition? What are other communities in SloCal thinking? Do you have any pulse on anybody
Paso,
else?
Paso and Slow, for sure. I don't know that Pismo's going to go after it. I think they're done.
I know.
Not
there's
sure why.
This would definitely be a great opportunity. Having the old dollar store building is not the greatest idea.
Okay.
SoCal's been pushing for the Embarcadero to be on point in their discussions over the last year. And I think there's no better place than the building that's right next to Dorn's, where the realtor's office is, that has the space and accommodations and overlooks the entire Embarcadero. When you talk about Visit California and Morro Bay to promote the town, there'd be no better place than to show it than through those windows, in my opinion.
I totally agree with you. So this is a Visit California project, not SoCal. Remember that. So we have to look at their parameters. And honestly, I have not looked at them yet, Amish. So I don't know what the requirement is. Would they be willing to get down into town, or does it have to be off of highway? I don't know that. And that's why I looked at the dollar store. But I thought about that building as well, and I also thought about the new building that's next to Tognazzini's, which has space available, like, almost immediately. So there's two, the space that you're talking about next to Dorn's, I mean, they have signed agreements in there. I don't know about moving people out, you know, so. But like I said, I think we have to look at the Visit California requirements and see what they require.
So,
yeah.
I am so glad to see this.
I know.
Because
it's exciting.
Years, I feel like it's Groundhog's Day, because pop, years ago, we set up here, and actually only about 6 years ago, which, you know, is very quick in government times, but a really long far away in business times, right? So about 6 years ago, we actually discussed this. There was potential for Visit California wanted to add four additional welcome centers to their slate of welcome centers in California. And they were looking for one along the coast, and it ended up being, I believe, in Salinas. And we really took a hard look at that package, and there are a lot of costs that are incurred with it. But it made sense to us at the time, because the visitor center was converging with tourism, which is not the case now. They're separate. That's a separate contract. But it would make sense if all of that converged together in terms of staff and everything again. But it was, I believe, at least, I think the application was going to cost us back then $5,000 just to apply. I don't know if they still have a fee to just submit your application, showing your commitment towards them. But the whole thing, I think, was going to be upwards of about $50,000 or $60,000 costs in upstart, because there's a lot of signage and stuff that's involved. One of the things that I really, really strongly recall that they wanted, which plays off of Amish's comments, was that they wanted bus parking and RV capability to pull in for visitors, to welcome visitors, right? Because buses come through, tour buses and whatnot. And we were having the visitor center downtown. We were having that visitor center downtown was just being developed, and so it would have been perfect. It had its own parking lot, and we were going to ask for some parking adjustments on the side street for buses and stuff. But it's really exciting because it does bring so many more visitors to you. I do want to note that the numbers in Pismo, we found out through our research that they count folks who come in and say, can you tell me where the bathroom is? Because they feel like that's part of their welcome process. So just the bathroom numbers are included in that, and we didn't include those in our visitor numbers. That was more like a directional thing, I think we felt like. So that was a little bit different. But it's really exciting. It would be super exciting to get a welcome center here. And I don't think that the Embarcadero, in my mind, I don't recall that the Embarcadero would have been too far away from the last package. It might be now. They might want something right on the highway. I don't know. But I do know, like in Mammoth, it's like 2.5 miles in off the 395 over there. So there's some of them that, you know, you have to wind down to. And they're beautiful, beautiful visitor centers, too. And they're just top-notch. So for us to have a top-notch, world-class facility like that here, I think would be a feather in our cap. And for me, I'm a go-for-it kind of gal. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? We can be told no. Okay, well, we tried, right?
So do like Pismo did. Given, you know, they had thousands and thousands of people. It didn't work because of the
landlord. So their situation changed completely. But I love the idea, and I've always been a supporter of the California Welcome Centers with Visit California and Center Coast Tourism Council. Puts out a map, which we were blessed being on the cover of last year, that was distributed in those centers throughout. So it's a good thing, just crunching the numbers and figuring out if we can do it, finding that location.
Sorry. Yeah, I just want to add to that. I agree with all this. I also agree that location, if we have any input or any ability to influence, would be critical. And a location that ties, that we've been looking forever for the motivation to get people to come up the stairs from the Embarcadero or to start at the top of the stairs, where there might be more economic value to the location of the visitor center being closer to downtown. So a location such as you suggested would be a
It's occupied. We can't kick people out of a building.
I'm saying is I don't think that the dollar store, old dollar store location,
totally,
is economically as viable or as interesting as any location that helps us with other opportunities that we're trying, or other problems that we're trying to solve, such as getting more people to the downtown area, as well as a connection point between the Embarcadero and downtown, which this could be a great opportunity for them. The location, I don't know. But if there's anything that could be explored that brings people into the downtown area for this type of opportunity would be beneficial.
So, and I agree with you, Nancy, wholeheartedly. I think we need to look at who is our competition in this, and they're all off the 101, and they're all going to have higher numbers traffic going by.
So they literally are saying you have to have a sign that you can see.
No, when we present our presentation,
yeah,
we have to have solid numbers. And so if it's a location that's by Highway 1, it would help because we'll show we have this many cars driving by the facility.
Yeah.
No matter what, it's still going to be significantly less than everybody else that's applying because they're all on the 101.
Okay. Well,
So that's my concern is I agree. I would rather have it where they can visually see the rock, you know. But I am worried about putting it into town and not having high numbers for traffic.
Okay.
I'm being really honest with you guys because I agree with you. My first thought was put it in that building as well. I talked with Scott, he's like, there's people in there. I'm like, so? I want that building.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, oh, man.
Well, I appreciate you've already looked into some of these things.
I mean, oh, for
and
sure.
And are weighing the...
But I don't know.
Weighing the pros and cons.
Just 2 cents. I think that ultimately, like, the number one benefit of this is pulling people that would just normally drive by Morro Bay and has no idea that we have an Embarcadero or a downtown, pulling them off of the one. And I hear you about the numbers, and I just wonder, you know, if Visit California, if somehow we can make it. These are international visitors, more so on the one, I think, than on the 101. So there's different ways we can pitch it. I'm happy to work with you on that. But getting people that are just normally driving by down where they can see the Embarcadero I think is huge. You know, obviously we need to find whatever space works for California, Visit California, but that whole idea of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that would just normally drive by Morro Bay because they don't know we have a downtown in Embarcadero is huge. Like, mirroring that is big. Jen, great job. That's awesome.
Jennifer, I'm going to look for the old information that we put together just as a, I don't know if you want that historically, but we put, if I still have it, I'll provide it to you because this is really interesting. The other thing is I remember that we had similar concerns about how do we get folks there, and then one of our board members geniusly said, we have a billboard. We have a billboard right there coming in from, well, it's right. One way facing, obviously, but the billboard we were going to use as a piece of strategy, I do remember that, to get people to the proposed. And when I remember that there was some conversation, I'll look back for all my notes and stuff, but there was some conversation with Visit California, and they were actually, at that time, mm-hmm. Their staff who we were talking to seemed pretty excited about the billboard, and that they didn't have a Southern California Welcome Center on Highway 1 as a gateway entry to Big Sur. So coupling that kind of thing had them excited. I don't know if it would now.
But you guys didn't win the bid. So do you know why you didn't win the bid?
I do know why we didn't win the bid. We didn't apply for the bid because at that time the city administration changed. And the city administration, no, PISMA already had theirs. They wanted to add one on Highway 1 at the time, and they chose, I think, Salinas. But we didn't apply for the bid because the city administration changed, and there was indication that the visitor center would be, the direction would be changed.
So my thought was maybe this is a two-step thing. Maybe we're in a building for 3 years as a temporary facility, nice temporary facility for this, while we get this tourism grant and actually create a facility that is all about the history of the Rock and Morro Bay and the fishing village and really go after that aspect of it. That would require a grant writer to do that. I mean, it's a big undertaking, and I think it is kind of a separate thing, but just so you know kind of where my head is on this, I don't think it's like, let's just get in the building and it's done. I think this is something that we want to keep here and grow if we get it. So to me, getting it is really, really key. So that's part of, and so I put this in here just so you guys can see. This is from Highway 1 looking at that dollar store. For whatever reason, Dollar Tree never used the back side of that building. It has huge parking. It's never full. I mean, you could put the entrance on that side of it and make it very visually friendly from Highway 1, which is huge. That is really huge, getting people off there. Yeah, it's got huge parking there for, you know, trailers and campers and everybody else. Not my favorite location, definitely not. But and we don't have to decide on location. That's not what this is about today. It's do we want to, like, jump off this diving board and go for it. It's really, really soon, but I think we should. There's a few things that I think we need to determine. One is, if we want to do this, I think we probably need two board members to kind of help me facilitate this through. And I think that we need to make sure that our county seat, Mr. Patel, knows that we actively want to be considered so that he can communicate this to Chuck and communicate it to his board. We don't want to get left out. So that connection right there is really key. And then I've got the requirement from BCA and on what we need. It's long, but it's substantial. And then SoCal has offered $90,000, up to $90,000 to help with the facility. We just have to specify how we use the money, and so there's good opportunities, and there's really great opportunities. You guys excited?
I'm
so
very
excited.
Of course I'm excited.
I just can't believe it's due December 6th. I'm like, want to just blow my head up. I'm like, are you kidding me?
So are you looking for a motion then today?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so, to keep moving forward on this.
Okay.
Yeah. What did I write in my motion? Oh, we need public comment too.
Oh, public comment. Yes, sorry.
Yeah. Or you guys can discuss it some more and make decisions on what you can assign Chris and Steve, because they're not here.
One thing that I know, when PISMA opened theirs, there was a big Visit California, did a big press releases and a huge party, and they had like a band, and it was a pretty big deal. Now, being right on 101, they also, and Caltrans, and you can see in your report, Caltrans will put up big Welcome Center signs on north and south and make sure that everybody knows about it, and we would have to pay for those signs. I don't think that there's an annual fee, but there is a fee for Caltrans to do that. But great signage, and it's, for me, this is kind of a no-brainer if it's possible for us to pull it off in the short amount of time.
I think we have a better ability to win it if we put it on Quintana, because you can see it. I hate to do that.
I think our best ability to win it would be if we could put it at the Rock, because it's the beach and it's the Rock, right, obviously. But I don't know that.
There's
maybe
no building there.
Pardon?
There's no building there.
I know, I get that.
So maybe that's
but on
the
way,
two
there's
with
a,
the grant.
On the way, there's a huge empty office building that just sits there with its own parking lot. We don't own it as a community, but it's empty. And that's the old PG&E offices on the right-hand side. Mm. It's got bus parking. It's anyways. So I'm in total support of this, identifying the proper site obviously is going to be instrumental, and maybe even having
and
the
timely
ability, and timely
yeah,
the timeliness
of
it. We got to bust this out,
we want it open.
And so not only the timing of it, but if it's possible to identify two sites to say to them, we have this site that's in town and this site that's
great
uptown,
idea.
And we're so excited about this that we've put together your ability to say, boy, Morro Bay, you know, you have too many compelling sites. So,
I agree. I think it's a great idea.
Yes. So what you're looking to us to, and that's tough for me, so you're
pick
looking
some,
to
pick
us.
Pick some people up there to help.
Okay, get some helpers.
Yep. Do you want to do public comment?
What kind of activity? What do you need in the helpers? Do you need?
Yeah, that's a good point.
We probably need to read through what this outline says, and they want a business plan. They want a marketing
plan. Do you need
plan,
number crunchers?
Budgets.
Do you need? What do you need? What kind of? I'm trying to think who of us are going to be the most helpful.
Right.
You pick who's going to be the most helpful to you.
Who has time?
Yeah. Well, nobody has time. It's the holidays, but
the day?
People have to make
December
time for this.
The 6th.
December 6th.
Ridiculous, right?
Okay.
It's so quick.
Yeah.
They
well,
just announced that last night.
I mean, is anyone escaping for the next couple of weeks? I mean, are you going on vacation or anything? Let's
I am.
Figure that out first. Oh no, you're not. Sorry.
No, you're not.
You'll be taking your computer
going
with you.
Somewhere I wouldn't hear of it. I am out of town quite a bit between now and Christmas, so that's why I'm asking. What do you need? Who do you need? This has to get done. You can
budget marketing plan.
I think a budget. I can work on the marketing plan. We need to do a business plan. What I'm hoping to do is pull a couple of the plans from the other offices.
Uh-huh.
I've reached out to a couple people, and we can just gleam on those. And
uh-huh.
There's no reason to rework it. Let's see what's worked that VCA has approved and use that as a base.
Yeah.
Is what I would recommend.
So I'm not your best budget person. Joan, you're fabulous at this. Could you help out with
budgets,
this?
Budgets, you mean?
Yeah.
Steven's a number person.
Okay.
You can assign him.
This is what people
I mean, I'm so excited about this. I am willing to help if you want to put up with me. I am willing to help, and I may also have some information. Hopefully, I can find it. But I am willing to help. If you think that somebody is going to be more help you be more successful, I want you to set up your team that's going to make you the most successful at this.
I would like Amish to help. Can you do that with your MBA experience? I think that'd be really good for the business plan, and
mm-hmm.
I think that'd be really great if you could help me out.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. And
I like reaching out to Gilroy, possibly, to get some of their information, being a pretty new, fairly new place. We might be able to glean a lot of information from our
totally
friends
right.
in Gilroy.
Totally.
You know, they're looking like, you know, they're getting a couple thousand people a month in there,
yep.
and being a new place. Similar, you know, could just be someone we could steal some data and have them help us.
For sure. I've reached out to a
complimentary
few people.
Complimentary.
Yep, and we want to maybe ask
open
Chris
the floor
to help,
to
too.
Public
you
comment.
You want to put Chris on to help?
I think we should. Chris and Stephen are both, they're both Chris, Stephen, you know. And Isaac, too.
No, just
those three are the committee.
Chris,
just kidding.
Chris and Amish is fine. So you guys need to do public comment first.
Opening the floor to public comment.
And then you need to...
Seeing none,
clearly define that you're assigning Chris and Amish to help with this project. What?
Hi.
Nancy Castle on the floor. Oh, public comment.
Nancy Castle listening in the back there. I just want to throw out the Grill Hut building. Has anybody considered that? That would be oodles of parking for your RVs and your buses, and it's right at the opening of town.
It's for sale.
And I don't know how much they're asking for it, but selling all of the restaurant equipment in it could make a little bit of money, and I think it would be another alternative.
Thank you. It's a great idea. Do you want to give us a donation for it? Okay.
I recommend for staff to continue the discussion with Visit SoCal to evaluate costs, grants, and possible locations with myself and Chris Costeca to assist with Jennifer.
Second.
Call in a vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you so much.
So will this come back in December at all? Just so you can tell
us. No, we've got to move forward now.
No, she moves forward now, but will you come back in December and tell us show us what you submitted or anything like that so we're aware?
I'll probably email it to the group after.
Oh, email it. Okay.
I'll wait and see what they're going to do with it.
Excellent. Thank you.
B3. Agency of Record contract with Mental Marketing. Jennifer.
So I am before you requesting for all of you to help me not lose my mind and have to put out an RFP this year. I would have to put out an RFP probably in January to review agencies and have them in place by June. And with VRs coming in, which means we've got new creative to be done right now, it does not make sense. It does not compute in my head because we're going to have current agency doing creative while we're reviewing other agencies to take over in July 1. And usually an agency, when they take over, they usually need 60 days to come aboard and then roll out. And we need to be rolling with our VR stuff now. The amount of work that we have on our side from a staff side is really overwhelming. You know, we've got to reach out to all these people and figure out how to get them involved and get all their locations shot and descriptions written and maps done. It's a huge amount of work. So I'm asking you guys to please consider to agree to renew the contract for 2 years. This does not have anything to do with their budgets or the marketing plan or what their scope of work is. It's just agreement to continue with them. I still have to take it to council. So they will still have to come back once we have a budget assigned from the accounting department. They'll have to come back with budget and how that money will be used. So nothing will change from that aspect. This is strictly the concept of not having to put out an RFP.
Have you talked to any of there's no vacation rental owners in the, we have two folks in the audience from Mental Marketing, just so everyone on TV land knows, but, and just us up here. And I am a little concerned for a couple of reasons about the vacation rental aspect of this. Does, if we approve for two years, does it lock us into a 2-year contract? Is there a possibility for, because we don't have any input from the vacation rental folks if if our agency of record is the direction that they want to go in the future. And I want to make sure, as we move forward, to make your life easier, that we're really hearing from them and that we're conscientious about involving them, especially in major decisions that are going to affect them. Is there any way that we could continue for a year, and then once we have the vacation rental situation developed and we have some input from them, from their leaders on the board, I'm assuming they're going to come onto the board, then you could make a decision about going out, or the board could help with a decision with vacation rental input. I'm just really concerned about locking them in without their input.
Couple thoughts on that. First of all, we have a, I don't remember if it's a 30 or 60 day out, but we have one of those in the contract. We always have. So at any point, we can request to change agencies. And we made sure that was put in place before we signed this new contract. And that is actually why we do the every 6 month review of the agency to see if they're still tracking and if we want to continue that. So that is in there. So whether it's a year or 2 years, we can always change it if we need to, just so you know. So you always have that option. So don't feel like 2 years and you're stuck. I don't want you to ever feel like that, okay? As far as what we're doing for VRs, you're right, we don't have anybody on the board yet, but we did have pre-discussions with our three outreach meetings and what we would do for them, and it's really about branding more than specific, you know, it's different. It's not like we're specifying go rent a VR. It's a little different. So we're doing all of the vacation rules videos for them. That's the type of stuff we're doing. We're going to shoot some videos that are very specific about staying in a VR, whether it's, you know, fire pit in your backyard and you're walking on the beach, stuff that feels very home-based for Morro Bay. But it's very branding-oriented. I know that there's a committee that's working on the VRs. Do you sit on that committee? Yeah. So you guys are working on a seat in the board. So that'll be coming in. I think what we're going to do is we're going to add a seat until a seat rolls off, because we don't want to kick anybody out of a seat is what we'll do. Okay? Does that answer your question?
So we could do a year so it does answer my question. Thank you very much. But we could do a year so that at a year it automatically rolls back and then they have a solid vote on this as well. So in other words, it doesn't really change what we do. It just draws it back up so that they're part of the process. So 2 years extends it for 2 years before they're part of that process. 1 year extends it for 1 year before they're part of that process. And that doesn't change the out clause at all in the contract. It's 30 days, no matter what.
So the agency versus what the agency is marketing are two different things, and VRs will always have an opinion and a say on what we do with the marketing plan, because we will not review the marketing plan until April or May, depending on when the budget is put into place, and by then we will have somebody on our board. So I don't know that it really matters, honestly, Joan, because the plan and how we're selling VRs, no matter what agency it is, that's going to be a separate issue. The marketing plan is totally separate. So, I mean, they can always make changes on how they think we're marketing them at any time. Does that make sense? No? Yeah. I mean.
The reason you do an RFP process, which I've both requested as an executive and also been the recipient of, right, is to keep your agency of record hungry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, Marianne, tell us, why you? Why should we choose you for two more years without an RFP process?
We're hungry.
Well, here actually we are, and there's several reasons why. There has been a lot of fantastic change that's happened for City of Morro Bay and tourism in particular. Number one, with Jennifer coming aboard, such big ideas. We've had such a great time connecting with her and her team and working to really put those big ideas in place. One of which is the strategic plan, which has been such a foundational tool that we've never had before that we can build on, and we feel like we've started those building blocks. We've initiated those foundational building blocks that we're just going to keep and continue to build on. So we're super excited to continue executing that plan. We're hungry about that. We definitely are. And just all the new things that are happening with the California Welcome Center potential and just watching, you know, the new website, the new brand, and then keeping that going and watching it grow, making it grow, being open to feedback from you guys and working together as a team. I mean, we feel like we have the community relationships within the community and with you guys that are strong and that we're proud of, and we are hungry to keep those positive and growing and going in the right direction. So we're excited about what's happening here, and it's not just about we want this contract for our portfolio. It's really not what it is. We love Morro Bay. We have a sailboat here. We lived here at one time. And we probably spend most of our time here than anywhere else on the Central Coast. So we have a heartfelt investment as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to be clear that my comments were not a reflection on mental marketing. I didn't want that to be. My comments are a reflection on the process and being inclusionary. And that's what because we did have some protests. I watched the meeting, and we did have some protests from vacation rentals. I want to make sure that as they come in and learn about the bid, and that they're completely, they have every opportunity to be part of all of the processes that take place. And I get it, they'll be part of the process in 2 years, but I'd like to see it be 1 year so that they're part of the process sooner rather than later. Because what I hear from Jennifer is that this is just part of the process. The contract renews and begins again July 1. So we're 7 months out from July 1. The vacation rentals come in January 1st and then full scale July 1. That gives them full scale, a full year, coming back in January. And my belief is that they'll just say, okay, let's go for the next 2 years. That's my belief. But I think that process-wise, I feel very strongly about including them. That's my own personal thing because I think, yeah.
And for the group that did file complaint against it, I think it was less than 1%. It was like 0.6. It wasn't even 1%.
So is this a renewal of the current contract? This is just an establishment of a new 2-year term. Good
yes.
Morning. There he is. We've nominated you to several committees. Wanted to let you know, Chris. Thank you so much. And congratulations, by the way.
Chris, you're right there. We're on our last item, discussion and decision if we can extend the mental marketing contract with all of the VR stuff that we have going on. I've asked to have it extended. And I'm not asking on behalf of mental. I'm doing this strictly for me and my staff. My staff is like, I want to keep them. I don't want them to walk out the door because, I mean, it's insane. And it's already insane, and we haven't even started. I mean, all of our winter events, like, imploded all in, like, a week. Everybody walked away from them. The event planner did. I had nonprofits walk away. I mean, we are just, like, so inundated. So it's me personally asking for you guys to help our department more than anything. So.
And, you know, I actually thank you for your comments because you're so right that the RFP process itself is an incredibly laborious process and not something that I think is of a lot of value. And what is of a lot of value is the institutional knowledge that you have in the strategic plan, in the projects, not having to ramp up a whole other agency. So for two major reasons. It's a huge time saving for you and your team not to have to go through an RFP process.
And just to mention, too, I neglected, is the whole VR process. We've been, you know, with this this time around from the beginning and to all of the outreach meetings and have been, you know, working with the VR community already. So they know us. We've spoken to them. We've showed them our marketing materials and our marketing ideas. And so that's another part that we do bring that another agency would have to be onboarded and would take more time. So
when is the contract due to expire?
And I want to be clear, I'm not saying we go out for RFP. Did it sound like I was saying that? I hope I wasn't saying that. Okay, good. I'm not saying that. I want to be very clear. Okay.
I want you guys to understand this is my personal heartfelt request.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to be very clear that that wasn't where okay, so I see head shakes. That's, I don't.
One thing I know is, you know, continuity is really has been a blessing for us to have mental marketing working, you know, as a business person, when we don't see things going our way, sometimes we want to blame other people or look to a marketing agency and say, why aren't we doing better? And I know that, you know, we're in a little bit of a slump. I mean, I'm feeling it. I think a lot of us are feeling it. And, you know, we have our own responsibility to market ourselves and to do what we need to do with what you guys are doing to help augment what we do. So I know it's really been tough, you know, for me to see all the hard work and still go, oh gosh, we're not making it or we're off. But when you take a look at the U.S. and the state of California and where we are right now, we're in the same boat with a lot of folks. So we can't blame any individual or any one thing that's happening, but we're feeling it. We're feeling that we're not hitting our numbers that we've had in the past or what we've budgeted for. And so it does take that continued effort to find out where are we failing and where are we succeeding to move forward. I personally understand your one-year thing with bringing those folks in, but we have an out. And for us, I think a two-year commitment to them also gives them the understanding that we're committed, mutually committed to our success. So that's just my two cents.
I agree with what you said about numbers being a little bit down. At the same time, I think mental marketing and Jennifer's staff's doing a wonderful job. I feel that we're in good hands with them. So anything extension, I would be for.
I'd like to open the floor to public comment. Come forward, please. Seeing none, I'm going to entertain a motion.
I just wanted to be clear that my comments are based on process and including the vacation rentals. This is not a reflection on Jennifer. It is not a reflection on mental marketing. I know I've said that, but it sounds like when I'm saying come back in a year to look at the to see if we want to go out for RFP process again, then I'm saying we want to, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying next year, just include the vacation rentals. That's all. So there you go.
Yeah, definitely say include the vacation rentals. Being on the committee that's helping them come in to TBID. I would definitely say keep them open and make sure they're fairly represented. And as I said before now, if we do decide for another 2 years, definitely put more focus in for a call for action. Turn those lookers into bookers.
It should be a motion, really how I wrote it, because I have to take it to council. I have to take it to city council still for approval. So I wrote that in my recommendation that somebody wants to read that, or if you want to amend it.
Second, but look at Charlie's pushing me. Okay. So because July 1st, 2020 is 18 months from now. July 1st, 2021 is 18 months from now. I beg my own pardon. I'm going to try it. I'm going to make a motion that just this item comes back to us 1 year from now, so that the vacation rentals are included in the process. And so my motion is then, sorry, I'm so sorry. I want to get Jennifer's words in there. I would recommend to council to extend the agency of record contract with Mental Marketing for an additional year, completing in June of 2021, with the item returning to TBID 1 year from now, so that we can include the voices of the vacation rental owners.
I second.
Any further comments, concerns? Seeing none, I'm going to call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? 1 year. With one coming out.
It's just...
I'd like to open the floor and any declaration of any future agenda items. Seeing none, I'm going to call this meeting adjourned at 10:30 exactly. Thank you so much.